Hello there and welcome to our podcast, Conversations in Noosa. My name is John Caruso. In the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes. They were artist Andy Warhol's words back in 1968, almost 40 years before social media platforms allowed everyday people like you and I to share content with the rest of the world. Long before the term Instafame was coined and decades before we'd ever heard of the Kardashian surname. Allura Merger, or Allura Tahiti, as she calls herself on Instagram, is a former contestant on the Australian version of The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, and she's my next guest on Conversations in Noosa. In this podcast, we talk about growing up in Tahiti, what really goes on behind the scenes of a reality TV show, being Insta-famous, and can you really make a living from being a social media influencer? I hope you enjoy the podcast.
I grew up in Tahiti.
I remember the beach, the ocean, like just being in the water all the time. I mean, Tahiti's gorgeous. Just, you know, just being a really happy family, growing up on the beach and riding horses all the time. And yeah, just a really chill life.
Tell me about your family, siblings, mum and dad.
Yeah, mum and dad. Dad is in Tahiti. Mom is in Nice in France. And I have two sisters, one 26-year-old who's in Tampa, Florida, and she's opening a Pokeball business with my older sister. Mom was a real estate agent. I think people used to line up to buy a house from her because she was so lovely. And then dad always had, he was a dreamer, so he always had massive projects, and then mom would just work with him on them and just make it happen.
Do you remember how your mum and dad met?
I obviously wasn't there when they met.
They would have told the story. I'm sure you asked. Yeah, you said, how did you guys get together?
I did ask. I think my mom was married still. And she met my dad. And sorry, mom. She met dad and I think, yeah, she left her husband for dad, I think. And
your mum's here, by the way.
Oh, mom is here. You didn't leave your husband for dad? Pardis-moi, t'as envoyé Christian? Mais c'est ça que je dis.
You left. C'est après que j'ai rencontré ton père quand j'ai renvoyé.
Okay, rewind. She left the husband and then she met dad.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mom was from France, Dijon. Yeah, okay. So was dad, but they never met over there until they were both in Tahiti. I think mom just followed her ex-husband to Tahiti because they were really adventurous. So they would just always travel and go on, you know, four-wheel drives on the beach and stuff. And so she went with her husband, her ex-husband to Tahiti,
right.
Left him. Yes. And then met dad, who obviously made her feel very, very good about her decision.
Yeah.
And yeah, they just had a 17, 18 years of romance. And I just remember it being a very, very happy relationship.
Yeah.
And I remember the dinner table, just listening to them talking business and always having crazy projects. I never even witnessed them fight once.
Really?
Never saw a fight. It was always just good vibes and just really pure happiness, I think. I feel very grateful.
I've never been to Tahiti, but I can imagine that it's an idyllic, paradise, island lifestyle. Do you remember one of your early goals and drivers in life in terms of what you wanted to do? And did you want to leave that kind of idyllic lifestyle?
I know that when I left Tahiti, I was forced to. I wasn't happy to be leaving. But I also remember growing up and never wondering about tomorrow, never wanting to be somewhere else and never caring about the future. I never wanted to say, oh, I want to be this when I grow up. I was always very present in my happiness, in my now, if that makes sense. I don't remember thinking, oh, I want to be this, or I was just always happy now.
You mentioned that you were forced to leave Tahiti. What was that story?
Well, because eventually school and, you know, all that cool, that stuff that you have to get serious, and everybody kind of leaves Tahiti at one point because opportunity is elsewhere, unless you have a big family business and stuff. So, and also the divorce with my parents happened in 2005 when we left, and it was a bit intense. So mom just really needed to get out, and you know, we met up with we went to live with my older sister in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
So I didn't want to go to Columbus, Ohio from Tahiti.
I can imagine that would have been like chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
Snow? Does it snow?
It was snow. Ohio? It was really cold. Americans, English.
Yeah.
I spoke French fluently and no English. So it was a completely new, like, culture shock, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long did you stay in Ohio? That's hard to say. Ohio for.
Ohio. I stayed for 3 years. It was all right. It was good because I felt like I was living an American Pie story. Like, you know, all the football players and the cheerleaders. And I remember waiting in line with all the girls for the dirty, sweaty jerseys that we would wear at the football game for the boys. And it was really fun.
When did you come to Australia?
Came to Australia in 2016 because my American visa in Hawaii expired. So I got my master's degree in Hawaii. I was there for 4 or 5 years.
What did you study?
Marketing.
Yeah.
Got my degree, and then it's very hard to get a visa in America. And unfortunately, I had to leave. But I always had Sydney in the back of my mind, so I just went for it and didn't want to go to France. Mom was in France, but I didn't want to go. So I just thought, why not start in a new city?
You would have had European citizenship though, right?
Yes.
So you could have gone to live and work in France?
I could have gone to live and work in France and gotten help from the government and all that cool stuff.
A lot of kids your age would probably take that option if they had, you know, France and Europe compared to Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
What was the reason for coming to Sydney?
I just always thought that people look healthy and happy and it's sunny and it's, you know, everybody looks successful. And I just thought, yeah. And I don't know if the French mentality is really something that I really could align with, because Tahiti's very laid back and fun. And in France, everybody is too serious, I think. And I just didn't really see much opportunity rising over there.
What did you do when you landed in Sydney?
I went to Melbourne first to pick up my dog from quarantine.
Yeah.
Little Malinka. And then went to Sydney. What did I do? I had my best friend Kelly, who I grew up with. She's been friends with for 17 years. Her when I was 12 in Tahiti. So she was in Sydney. I remember going to the bucket list. So I went to Bondi Beach, met up with her, had a drink. And then, yeah, I just got stuck in the Bondi bubble.
What's that mean?
It's like everybody hangs out in Bondi. So you see really hot guys with tattoos and pugs or like staffies. And then a bunch of girls that are really, really, really well-dressed every day. And then you just never leave those little bar hopping scenes.
Well, it sounds like fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. And how long did you do that?
Probably for 2 years.
Yeah. Did you put your marketing degree to work?
I applied for the bachelor 3 months after I got there. So I was just on the beach in Bondi in my little bubble.
Yeah.
And then my friend Kelly was making fun of me because I was single for a long time, maybe 4 years. And I was like, I just can't find a decent man. And she's like, oh, maybe you should go on a bachelor then. And I was like, oh yeah, watch me then. And so I applied. I applied and I got on.
Now, you'll have to educate me about this particular program and reality TV, and maybe we can go behind the scenes and tell me how kind of the machinations and the mechanics of a program like this work. So were you on was it Bachelor and then Bachelor in Paradise? Were they two separate programs?
Two separate programs. Right. Bachelor in Paradise is a completely new in Australia. So I was on season one, but you have to be a bachelor or a bachelorette to be on Paradise.
What were the producers of such a show looking for? When I assume you had to audition.
Now, looking back at it, I think they have kind of like all Disney. If you line up all Disney princesses and they have personalities, including the witches, I think they want a different person that matches each character. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's like casting. They have to cast a show. So they need all the different characters.
All the characters.
Right. Okay. So what, again, you have to educate me because I didn't see the show. So what character or role did you have to play?
I think they had me as this exotic, strong, like, you know, that Latina girl with like confident and I wouldn't say attitude because attitude is a bit negative. But just confident energy. And I wouldn't want to say bimbo because also bimbo is negative. But, you know, just someone that walks in the show and that just brings fire. And I literally did came in spinning fire on the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I just had that role, that really strong strong, yeah.
And did you, for someone that worked in radio, never in TV, but in radio and casting, you know, members of a breakfast show and they have to play a certain role and they do like a profile and a filter, did you have a brief in terms of how you had to act and perform on the program? I imagine that you would.
There's no brief at all.
You weren't told that these are the kind of the characteristics of your character or role?
You don't get told anything. You only find out, you kind of realize what your role is 4 months down the line when you start watching your own show. They're not changing your personality for a role. They're just adapting a role to your personality. So if they casted you as a nice person, but then you turn out to be very mean or aggressive, then whatever you give to the camera, then that's your new role.
Yeah.
It's not really the other way around. So it's not scripted.
No. I understand that, but I thought you might have been briefed in a way that you had to, or how your character would act.
Yeah.
I often hear this criticism from a lot of reality TV. Were you happy with the way the process was edited?
You can never be 100% happy with it because you know there's missing parts of certain things. So sometimes when something's embarrassing, then you're like, ugh, I would have looked a little bit better had they shown that part. But unfortunately, you just get used to it. It's a little stab in the back, but then you know what you sign up for. You're an adult. You know that you went on a reality TV show. It's not going to be all roses and, you know, and beautiful butterflies.
What was your motivation for doing it? I know you had a friend in Bondi who said, hey, you know, you've been single for a while and you should, as a joke. But what was your motivation? Why did you want to do it?
All the wrong and the right reasons. Anybody wants to, the gratification of like getting accepted, like going through a casting and getting through, and you're like, oh yeah, I kind of do want to go on TV. I've never even watched The Bachelor before. I didn't know what I was getting into. I started watching it when I got casted for it.
Yeah.
But it was, at first it was the idea of a perfect man that would be delivered to me. Without thinking that I was going to be stuck with women, I didn't realize how big that was going to be. And then, yeah, just for fun, because I wanted to do something big and I say yes to different adventures and it's a bucket list thing, you know, so. Yeah.
So what was your game plan? You just mentioned that you didn't realize what it was going to be like being stuck with a bunch of women.
Yeah.
So more women than guys, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess you had an end goal. Like the end goal is hooking up. Is that, am I wrong or is that?
Well, you don't know if you're going to like the guy. You do want to hook up, but if you don't like him, then you're happy to get out of there.
And does that mean you have to elbow the other girls out the way? Is that how that works?
You get elbowed a whole bunch. What I understood, it doesn't matter what you do to the other girls or how they treat you. It's all about the guy. So the focus needs to be about being yourself. And if the guy likes you, you're going to be there. But You need to try and get out of there without so many bruises, really, because it's really crazy in there, really.
Well, it sounds really brutal.
It is.
What does that do for your self-esteem?
It's really crushing. It's really hard, but you come out of it so much stronger and you learn so much.
What did you learn?
You can't go on with life with, like, you're so different than anybody else. You can't compare yourself. It's not, we can't all be the same person that will match that one guy, you know? So if you're not, you're not it. So if you're the best you can be every day, then you'll attract someone that matches your energy and your vibe.
Now, again, the only kind of, you know, information and intel I can have or have kind of gleaned about you is from online. And unfortunately, I have to say they're from New Idea and Women's Day websites, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't find love.
I did not.
No. What's the term? How did you get off the island? How did that happen?
So for...
Are you like evicted? Is that what happens or...
So on the Bachelor in Paradise...
Am I confusing my reality TV shows there?
Now you're in Paradise. So with all the girls, I was still in Bachelor. So actually both times you don't get a rose and then you're out.
That's it. Yeah. No rose, you're out.
No rose, you're out.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But in Paradise, you also give a rose.
So hey, we'll have to. Paradise was the show that came after the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So you're out of it. But how did you get invited? Was it ex contestants from the first? Is that what happened with Bachelor in Paradise?
Yes. So I think whoever they wanted to put on an island for the most drama and fun.
Yeah.
They just brought us together.
Yeah.
They had bachelors from Canada, America, and Australia.
Would you do it again?
I don't think I would say no to something I've already done that has brought me so much personally and like mentally and, you know, in my career and everything. So
yeah.
Of course I would go again. I was a personal trainer in a gym. I always knew that was not going to be, like, I felt like I was not, it wasn't my place. I wanted to be this Ashley Bynes girl. She's like a fitness guru. I wanted to be an online training program, like, advocate. And so I think part of, you know, going on a bachelor, I was like, oh, this is the right path. This is going to help me.
Profile raising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I realized that what I really liked was to make people feel better, but I'm not a gym rat. So then I thought, okay, well, unfortunately, I got into a relationship that really brought me down personally. And then I realized that I locked myself up a bit. And
was that the Italian Stallion?
Yes.
Right.
The Italian Stallion.
So, again, that's just the Woman's Day headline.
Yeah.
How does that fit in? Was he on the show?
He was. No, I met him 2 days after I didn't receive a rose in paradise.
So he wasn't on the
show. I was ready to be loved up. Didn't find a man in paradise. Went to a festival and met this Italian Stallion. And I was like, this is why nothing worked out in paradise, because I have my Italian now. And
yeah.
It was beautiful. It was like, I really, really, really loved him very much.
Right. But he had nothing to do with the program.
No,
right. Okay.
No. And anyway, so I think it was just a process of finding myself again before I did anything with my career.
Yeah.
And I think those shows, they're very tough on your mental. And then, even being in a tough relationship was really hard. So I think using my personal experience with life and broadcasting it on Instagram, trying to relate to people and make other people feel better, that's kind of like what I was doing, but none of it was really making me money.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how people, like this Insta fame culture. Yeah. And obviously you get to a certain level, you have a profile. People know who you are. They can recognize you on the street.
Yeah.
It might open some doors. You know, a lot of reality TV stars going to radio and other TV careers. But how do you, and I hope you don't mind me asking, but how then do you monetize your face and your name and that brand?
Because I realized you got to really listen to what you like to do, right? And what I liked about Instagram is how I could help people and inspire them. But then, like I said, it didn't make me money. So because I started really connecting with my, you know, with my audience, my fans, and really always responding to them and really getting involved with Instagram, then I decided, okay, I have a marketing degree. How do I monetize on that? And the problem with that is it's a little bit like a model. If a model goes to a casting and she gets a lot of no's and stuff, so I would sit there every single day with like 9 to 5 and email as many brands as possible, selling myself, like sending proposals, media kits. Look, this is me. But it was hard because I didn't really fit into this crazy media world, because I don't like fake hair. I don't like fake lips. I don't represent the typical marketing scandal that all of these, you know, this whole world brings, really. So I had to really find something that could work. And what I did is I always aligned with products that I liked, you know, feel good products or posture products or whatever, even brands that, you know, ethical swimwear. So I contacted all these brands that resembled what I would
believe in. Yep.
And I would develop that, but like more and more every day.
And so that's, you know, when there's an Instagram pickup and you're spruiking the benefits of, you know, XYZ label, is that's how it works. But that the origins of that were in you hitting the email and contacting as many.
It's like you're a magazine selling ad space.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's a lot of work and you get no's most of the time. And also it's almost like it lowers your image when you say, you know, when you say, tell a brand you need them, it's better if they come to you.
Yeah, of course.
So in the beginning, you're right in that middle of that limbo of, you're reaching out because you need something, and then you undersell yourself because they know you need them. So it's just a really, really tough balance. Like I can sell a photo for very small and then triple that next day with another brand, depending on how they see you, from how much they liked you on that TV show and how much they like you for their brand.
Yeah. How many followers do you have? Like Instagram's your platform, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many followers do you have? I believe 68,000.
68?
Yeah.
Did that all happen after the TV shows?
I remember I had maybe 2,000. it's funny, mom has a whole list of how many followers I have every day. She's like changed, like writes it down for 2 years now. Day one, I think I had.
Is that for like reporting purposes? What is the purpose?
She's like, oh, you got 200 extra followers today.
It's like the board meeting at the end of financial year. Look how you've done.
So
an advertiser then would look at your followers and then, you know, it's the reach, isn't it? It's like TV or radio. It's how many people do you reach with
exactly.
It. Right. Okay.
Exactly. So, and it depends what I do. So if I say I go to Bali, so it's an investment because if I go to Bali, then I have amazing shots and beautiful photos and now I hit the whole travel market and then I have millions and millions of impressions because I have a dreamy, I look like I have a dreamy life on Instagram, and it's true. Like it's, you know, I'm out there.
I want to ask you about that in a minute, but before that, I don't mean to be rude, but do you make money from that? Like, can you make a living from what you're doing?
Yes and no.
You're right.
It depends what you do. Traveling, normally you pay for your flights.
Sure.
Sometimes they do, but it really rarely. You just don't pay for accommodation. It's just a different lifestyle. So what I like to say is that when you do Instagram, unless you're very, very big, which I'm not there yet, I think money is no longer your currency. So you just don't spend money. Right. You don't make, you spend money for rent and all that stuff, but you don't, it depends what brands you, unfortunately, it's the products that you don't really want to advertise that do pay you.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if you really, you don't necessarily get paid to go to a nice 5-star hotel. Now you get a free night and then you have an amazing service and all that, but it's really hard to make money out of that.
But you spoke about that, like your trip to Bali, about how you present a certain image.
Yeah.
But then you've kind of intimated that that's not really the reality.
It is reality.
There has been a lot of stories on social media about what people put up on social media and what is the reality. And I was simply going to ask you how close.
It's reality, but that I can't afford.
Say that again. It's reality that
I can't afford,
right?
Money wise.
So where does that leave you? What does that?
Well, it leaves me in a place where I don't need money in a way. If I choose to travel for a year and I get all my travel for free, and it's kind of like, you know, you see these girls that hang out with a very rich man and they, you know, they just go and travel the world and don't spend a dime.
Yeah.
I'm doing the same thing, except it's working on my image and doing these photo shoots and, you know, work on this content. Because when you travel like this, you have to contact a bunch of brands before you go to wear their clothing.
You put in a lot of groundwork.
Yeah.
For that.
But then I was built for it because I have 5 years of marketing degree.
Yeah.
So it's something that I actually really like to do. Now people do this for money and then they spend money on their traveling. But if I'm not spending the money, in a way, I'm keeping myself happy. Now, is it sustainable for long term? I don't think so. Right. Unless you get to the millions and then every post that you post is like a $10,000 ad. But I mean,
right.
That's where the line is very thin.
There. Yeah. Do a lot of people in your circle of friends have the same kind of ambition or dream?
It's funny. I have four that girlfriends that are very, very different. I have one who's a PR executive at L'Oreal. So she works she hires people like me. And then I have Megan, who is big on Instagram, who I met on a reality on The Bachelor.
I think I met Megan
at the spring launch.
But she was Sydney based?
She is in Gold Coast.
Oh, she's on the Gold Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So she's...
She was on The Bachelor too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, she lives fully off of that. Fully. And she makes good money. She's at 180,000 followers. So she's at a next level. She makes... Like, I know every time she works with a brand and I'm like, oh, give me the email. And she's this is, you know, you could ask for that, blah, blah, blah. And so I know that with her basing that, like, I know I'm less. So like, we work well together. And then I have my other friend, Belinda, who is a business, like a gym, women's fitness gym owner in Melbourne. And she's all about making money. And so she's the one who actually is teaching me a little bit more about how to monetize on what I have now.
What do you call that business?
The Instagram thing. I call it maybe influencing.
Social media influencer.
Social media influencer, right. Yep.
How did you end up in Noosa?
When I went through my breakup, I...
This is the Italian?
With the stallion, yeah. Right, okay. it's funny. Every time I say that, I see him in the background like,
As in like a horse?
As a horse, yeah.
I know you're a big horse lover.
Yeah. So I went to travel.
Because some of those articles on Woman's Day said this was it. You'd found true love.
It's true. And it's really hard still today because I look for him in every man that I meet now.
How many times did you read something about yourself in a tabloid, supermarket tabloid like that, that wasn't true?
The only time I saw something that wasn't true was when it was someone else saying something, like Simone, my enemy.
She was a contestant, right? I get that.
Yeah, she was my enemy on the show, and she said things that were not true. But other than that, they're pretty on point. I feel like I might have a little friend on a Daily Mail or something because they're very kind to me every time. Oh no, I did see something that was completely wrong and it was a bit embarrassing. In Hawaii, I was organizing events from weddings to nightclub parties and stuff. And I organized a theme event one night that was called 50 Shades of Grey. And in the Daily Mail one day, it said, Alora, sex madam. it's just a party, a theme party. I could have done a pirate theme party. But because it was 50 Shades and I had really sexy models walking around, and in Sydney, it does happen. That kind of stuff happens in Sydney. They would then use my Hawaiian gig as, like, they portrayed it as me being a sex madam. And I guess
it was in the name. Is where the confusion come from.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we were talking about how you found yourself in Noosa.
So for Noosa, I left the Italian and then I went on a little trip to Byron Bay, Gold Coast, booked a flight to go to Splendor, except I booked the wrong date. I landed in Brisbane on a different date and decided to drive up to Noosa. When I drove through Noosa, I just remember everybody telling me it was a Tahiti or the Hawaii of Australia, because it just really, with that little beach walk and the hiking. And I just remember falling in love with it, how beautiful it was and how small it was. Really reminded me of home. And then I remembered wanting a Pokeball, which is now my business. So I wanted a Pokeball, which is like a little fish bowl. It's raw fish marinated, like just a Hawaiian and Tahitian recipe on a bowl of rice. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking around and I couldn't find anything. And I was like, oh, there it is. This is it. I need to come here and I need to sell Pokeballs around here.
It's a food van?
A food van. So at first I thought about opening a restaurant in Noosa, but I couldn't find any commercial space that was small enough. I wanted to do a takeaway restaurant. Couldn't find a space that was small enough for what I wanted now. And mom sent me, she was traveling through Copenhagen and she sent me the photos of trailers and she said, why don't you put it on a trailer? And I was like, oh my God, yeah. I can invest in that. It's not too much. And once I own the trailer, I own it. So no walls to pay, nothing. I just need to park it somewhere. So I just went from there. I thought it was a bit crazy at first, but then I thought, why not? I'm not going to be this Instagram chick forever.
Did you have like a hospitality background?
Yes. So that my whole years of school, during my master's, I was serving in a restaurant, in probably millions of restaurants, because I always got fired because I didn't really like the job. I was a server, but sometimes I would cancel. A job never really stopped me from traveling or doing anything. Yeah. So, 10 years of hospitality in really nice restaurants and bars. So I just remember always saving, you know, when they give you the employee book of the rules and stuff. I had this little book where I always saved one concept that they had that I really liked. And I always thought, man, like if everything goes wrong, I can open a restaurant one day because I've seen it all.
What would be one of your biggest challenges with that you've kind of a hurdle you've had to overcome in terms of running that business?
Challenge is telling people are a bit afraid of something new. I feel like Noosa has a lot of people who, I mean, Pokeballs are becoming very trendy these days.
I believe you.
And
I've never heard of them before. So.
I think Noosa is a bit isolated. And I mean, if you go to Bondi, there's a line. There's a massive line in the street. People are all talking about Pokeballs and because it's healthy. If you're training and if you want healthy, like it's protein, it's fresh food, it's made raw, marinated in lime. It's just really good island food. And so telling people, come on, try this, step out of your comfort zone. zone. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm surprised you turned up for the interview, actually, Laura, because this idiot, he's never watched the show. He has no idea what the Pokeball is. Why am I even going there to do this interview?
I will educate you, not belittle you.
Are you getting the consumers, the customers? Are they trying? Because you're at the farmer's market on Sundays.
Yes. I started at the Noosa Farmer's Market. I am still, mom is visiting from France, so I'm still, I'm taking my time because to be honest, I'm in no rush. I just want things to, you know, I want to enjoy my life as well. So I'm at the Noosa Farmer's Market on Sunday now. And I will, starting this weekend, start exploring other markets to see, because I need to, it's all about timing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like marketing on a page. Like, it's all about timing. If I go there for breakfast, I'm not a breakfast food. So I need to find a spot that has foodies and people, you know, honestly, the best spot would be Main Beach Noosa, because it is a meal made for
like
surfers.
Bill.
Yes, the little ice cream.
The ice guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Bill, if you hear me.
Yeah.
Please let me park next to you.
Have you spoken to council about that? The kind of permits that you need to?
Yes. I mean, unfortunately, I have to wait till 2020 to ask for that spot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's only next year?
Because it's a 3-year thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, for now it's, I just need a location to park it. That's my goal. Yeah. Farmer's market's nice because I'm learning the business. I'm learning how to, I never cook for myself at home. I'm so bad. I'm learning how the system.
Yeah.
Where
do the ingredients come from?
Local produce.
Yeah.
It's all from around Noosa, all the way down to Mooloolaba, because I get my fish from straight the fish markets there. The fish comes right off the boat. So it's all fresh.
What are your long-term goals?
Long-term.
Just in the last that we've chatted, adventurous spirit, always looking for that next. I don't imagine that you'll be in Noosa forever. What's your long-term thinking? Where do you want to be? What do you want to achieve?
I don't mind saying Noosa forever.
Yeah.
I rescued 3 horses that are in Noosa now. So, I mean, it would be hard to kind of move them. Well, I could move anywhere in Australia, really, but I'd really like the lifestyle in Noosa. So long term, I think my plan is to have more than a trailer, whether it's, you know, setting up a little container at Eat Street on the weekends, or having my own takeaway restaurant in Noosa. And then I also want to do more for my people on Instagram. So I kind of want to show them how to get to where I am now by just believing in myself and like having a better life and healthier lifestyle and just believing in myself. So I want to use what I have now and continue doing, because this is what really Instagram brought me. Like, I really enjoy helping people, and I see a difference with a lot of, of my people. I talk to them every day.
One final question, considering the 2 shows that you've been involved with.
Yeah.
What have you learnt about love?
I learned that love is a lot about timing, and that if you don't know, it's like a pair of shoes. Like, if you don't know your size of your feet, right, you're not going to fit in a 38. So it's not everybody's going to be for you. You just have to know who you are and what you want, and then you will attract that one person. But it's just really, it's tough, and it doesn't matter who's really around you. Like, if it's the one for you, it's the one for you.
Laura Merger was my guest today on Conversations in Noosa. Hope you enjoyed that. If you did, feel free to share the podcast about with your friends and family on social media, and rate and review the podcast if you've listened to it on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or maybe Google Podcasts, Spotify, Wooshka, Stitcher, whatever. Until next time, hope you keep coming back and checking us out. Subscribe so you don't miss out. This has been Conversations in Noosa. I'll catch you again real soon. In the meantime, take care.